chance to look at the minutes of the previous meeting? Second, all in favor then?
Did you second it?
No, Shaw seconded. Look, he abstained over here, looked like.
I wasn't here.
Item one, which is going to be York Elton Precinct Two, consideration of possible approval of action regarding the burn ban. You're good with leaving it off, Mr. Shaw?
Yeah.
So we're not going to, you think we're not going to take any action on item one, we'll just leave it as is. Item two, Vance Hill Sheriff, which I don't see him, I see his representative there. Consideration and possible approval of purchase of vehicles.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Truett.
On the jail report, it looks like we have 132 total inmates, and six of those being contract inmates.
Six of the 132 is contract?
Yes, sir.
Is that a motel camera?
I'm not certain who that one is, for those six, they've got four males and two females.
One.
It's a base contract. Bid from Caldwell County, under the government contract for the 2018 Tahos that we had budgeted for. Just coming to the court to ask that we are allowed to spend the total $82,6144 for the purchase of two Chevrolet Tahos. That's going to include the equipment and cat fleet outfitters putting it in, and we get them, we'll just have to.
Everything with radios, or is that?
No, we're going to use our radios that we got on a grant earlier this year, or last year, whatever. So we have to have them strapped when we get them in, that'd be another $500 a piece, I believe it is, but that's also included in what we budgeted for. This is just for the purchase of the vehicles and have them activated with the emergency lights and the radios installed and cameras.
This is two Chevy Tahoe?
Two 2018 Tahos.
PPV stand for police, two vehicles, is that what that is?
Yes.
How many vehicles did we approve in a budget? Two?
Yes, sir.
And this is us?
Yes. Yes, sir, I believe the court wanted us to try to find them here locally. I did reach out to Brugger's, visit with them, probably 2.5 months ago. I haven't heard back from them, so pretty competitive on this, the bid's fairly low. They told me they were having a hard time getting that, and that's been a month and a half ago. I have run into the guy, talked to him.
You did check the price?
Yes, sir, we did.
Thank you.
To purchase locally.
Thank you.
Just call for a motion, is this an action item?
I believe it is, Judge. I'll remove that we approve the purchase of two 2018 Chevy Tahos from Caldwell County Chevrolet.
We bought through them before, haven't we?
Yes, sir. Buy board
prices.
All right.
Six.
Second, all in favor indicate. All right, that motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. All right, at this time, I'm going to take item five on the agenda, because this could take some time. I have a 10 o'clock hearing scheduled, and I know there's some of you who need to be on your way as well. The agenda item is consideration and possible approval to renew legislative consulting agreement with Bob Turner. And I don't know if, I suppose it would be a renewal, it's on a lot of the same terms we had before. This came up on the agenda in our last meeting in December, and there were only three of us here. So I thought it best that we not act on it. The other two commissioners concurred until all five of us could be here. And here we are. So are there any comments from the commissioners first? And then I've got several public participation forums that we're here for. comments, gentlemen?
I just want to point out that Josie has told me that during the budget process, we had $35,000 allocated for professional services. And I believe $5,000 of that would go to the consulting fee of Bob Turner. Since we made a bunch or a lot of discretionary cuts during budget time, I'm not sure that we need to uphold this at this time or say it was part of the budget. I want to hear what everybody else has to say about it before making up my mind about how to vote on it or whatever.
Well, the first public comment, taking the order that I got, Van Stewart. Hi, Van.
Good morning.
And as each of you come up, if you will state your name for the clerk's record and the subject of your address.
Good morning. Van Stewart. I wanted to talk about the lobbying contract. I want to start out by saying I'm a big supporter of grassroots organizations, and I've always been involved in the political system, so I love to see people getting involved. But I think it starts at the voting level. You exercise your right and you go vote. So I'm here today because I guess I'm a little surprised. Although I'm usually real supportive of what these groups do, I'm surprised that this is the issue that I picked to hear there's controversy over, because I feel like this is a necessary line item veto that should happen every year. You know, Mr. Kelton, you're my commissioner. I think you did a good job. I know each one of y'all, and I know what y'all do. I know that there's other things that y'all are doing to make a living. I did not expect y'all to be looking through thousands of bills that are filed and hope you find one that covers Brown County. And then if you are lucky enough to find one, that you have the contacts to go and get the issue solved. That's what these guys do for a living. I don't expect Ray Tipton with the chamber to be able to do it on his own. So I'm here saying, we need to do this. You know, with my group, I do look at these bills on a regular basis. And see, last session, I found one that affected us. I spent $25,000 on a lobbyist to get my issue taken care of.
Your issue being sheep, wool and mohair, or?
Cotton.
Cotton. Oh,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Sorry. Cotton.
That's okay. We did get it taken care of, but it was very costly. I think we're getting a good deal for what we charge. I have known Joe and Bob since I worked in the Capitol in 1993 for Senator Sims. They do a good job. They have the contacts. They're working for rural America. We need this. That's it.
Thank you, ma'am. The next is Margaret Coleman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Daniel Graham, and I was here to speak 2 weeks ago or whenever the last meeting, and so I'm gonna try not to repeat myself too much. Briefly, I'm against this proposal. At the last meeting, the terms that I referred to, the issues that I see in this topic are efficiency, of course, in spending the funds, efficiency, and redundancy. It's my understanding that the Texas Association of Counties has a lobbyist down at the legislature, and it's my understanding that you all have the ability to contact that lobbyist on the county's behalf and get the information you need in that way. For all of our elected officials, and I would say government at large, we're all looking for transparency and accountability. That's why we're here this morning. That's what we want to see in all of the relations with the state and the federal government. What has struck me about this whole process, and I've only come in terms of the public meetings on this topic, I've only come here. So I was here at the last commissioner's meeting, and I'm here today. I was not at Brownwood City Council. I was not at Early City Council. I was not at the Municipal Development District. But at least from the media coverage, what has really stood out to me is that this process has seemed very one-sided.
Don't ever rely on the media coverage.
Exclusively, no, I don't exclusively. Okay. I have done some independent research on my own. Okay. But what I've observed, both from the media and from my own research, is that it seemed very one-sided. It seems to me like if this is really necessary and really a benefit, then you all, and then by inference, the other elected officials in the other bodies, you all would be making the case. You would be telling us how great this is. But what I've heard is the chamber. We heard Robert Porter, and then we heard Robert Porter again. So it sounds like the chamber thinks this is a really good deal, and maybe the chamber is really benefiting from this, and maybe the chamber is going to carry this forward. But I'm not hearing from you guys how this has been a great benefit from you. And I know in Early, no one spoke up to say, yeah, we're getting a really great deal on this, and here's what's happened. So in that sense, it seems kind of backwards, the process. That's all I have. Appreciate your time.
Okay, now before you leave, I want to point a couple of things out. You said that Texas Association has a lobbyist. Let's make it clear that Texas Association of Counties lobbyist is only on issues that affect all counties. They represent and have, whether they're insurance contracts or just representation contracts, with metropolitan counties and with counties our size and even smaller. They represent rural Texas and metropolitan Texas. If there is a conflict between the two, which there very often is, they will not lobby for or against a bill. So it's not like we have a lobbyist. We do, as you and I discussed this in private one day, and you heard my opinion. Did you not?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard for you to say that you haven't heard us speak about it. I mean, you've heard what I've said about it. And why? So, when you ask for commissioners to make a statement, the purpose of this meeting is to hear from the public if the public has to speak. We cannot speak to each other. I can speak to one commissioner, and that's it. And then that commissioner can't go to another one because it's called a rolling quorum. It's illegal. So when you hear from the commissioners, it's after we have heard from you.
I thought it was an open discussion. I didn't understand that there were any particular rules.
Not until we're here. But when we're apart, we're not in this room, there is no open discussion whatsoever. We don't know what each other thinks.
But I just heard you ask for their comments on this matter.
Yes, you're not listening to me.
Did I misunderstand?
When we're in the meeting, we have the opportunity for an open statement, open statements. And they will make theirs now that they've heard from the public, unless anybody else has to speak. But we can't speak outside this meeting. Other than I can talk to one commissioner, or another commissioner can talk to one commissioner. But three of us can't get together or in any way communicate. So the only way for the public to know what the commissioners think is to contact them privately or come to a meeting, hear their comments, et cetera. Now, I will tell you that in the past, this contract has been approved, and I think we've entered into it three times. One time we entered into it was redistricting was on the agenda of the legislature. And if you think Austin is crazy, generally, it is. Wait till the redistricting years come up. And had it not been for Turner's efforts, Brown County would be in two separate legislative districts. And that's a fact. They were trying to split this county in two. At the time, I served on a state agency. I had no power. I had no, nothing. Who's he, you know? They don't care to hear from county judges because, for the most part, they look at county judges as just, you know, idiots, morons, imbeciles, you name it. That is the mindset that most legislators have of county judges, unless they own personally, and they can't own personally. So he was very much a help to us. That's probably the reason we renewed it the next time, and perhaps the next. As I told you, I mean, I have sources beyond Mr. Turner. You will hear from each of these men now that we have had the public comment. Not trying to be argumentative. Okay. All right. No one else turned in a form.
Judge.
But I make it a habit to ask if there's any other comments. So I heard a
judge.
And it sounded like it came from the little lady over there.
I'm sorry, I'm new to this. I did not see the forms. I was given forms at the city, so I apologize.
That you're fine. They're over on the wall. And Julie, if you will, state your name when you...
And I'll be glad to fill one out.
Thank you.
I know now.
Let's get him on, too.
Okay, yes, thank you. Good morning. Sorry, Brooke, I've been here before with 4-H and many other things, so this is my first time to address you as such. I think all y'all know me. Good morning. Julia Taylor, address 1776, County Road 233, Brownwood. Mr. Worthy?
We don't need that close.
Okay, I'm just looking where I live. I thought that was a public record issue, just commenting. Thank you. I'm not targeting. Hello, but thank y'all for allowing me to speak to you today. I'll be brief. I wasn't sure public comment on this topic was going to be introduced today, so that's why I sent y'all letters last week sharing my opinion. As stated in my letter, there are numerous taxpayer-funded lobbyists paid for throughout associations for entities, as you had just explained, for cities, chambers of commerce, water districts, EDCs, and your own groups, the TAC and the CJCAT. I can only hope that through these associations, policies that represent the taxpayer are being considered. I only have 13 or so of the newsletters from the lobbyists for this last year. They are filled with general comments of the goings on at the Capitol. There is nothing mentioned on policy or upcoming legislation considered that impact any of the six entities that fund the contract. One of the legislative update newsletters that particularly infuriated me was the one dated February 22nd, 2017. Where the lobbyist accounted the fundraiser he helped host for U.S. Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan at the Elite Austin Club. I would never want my tax money funding such an event, but it did. Was this event something that directly benefited Brown County? As I stated in my letter to you last week, I received discrepancies in what contract had been received from the lobbyist and the funding entities. Because of this, I made a FOIA request to the City of Brownwood, Senator Don Buckingham, and Representative Mike Lane. I requested all correspondence and meetings with the lobbyists.
At this time, I have only received the information back from Representative Lane's office. That release stated that there were no formal meetings, discussions, or phone calls with Representative Lane's office and the lobbyists during 2017. As a side note, Mr. Lane has informed me that he speaks with the 3M lobbyists on a regular basis. The city FOIA request is due today and is expected to be received today. The Senate Secretary has promised Senator Buckingham's information this week. I have not made a FOIA request to this county, but it leads me to wonder, what contact have you had with the lobbyist? Did he inform you of the exemption granted for Brown County to be considered for the annexation by Ranger College in the legislation that passed in 2013? Or has he forwarded any other pertinent information to you that's affected Brown County directly or indirectly? Thank you for your time. I urge you to not participate in the contract to rehire or hire a taxpayer-funded lobbyist. I leave you with a quote that I closed my letter with from Thomas Jefferson. To compel a man to furnish funds for the propagation of an idea he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. Thank you.
Thank you. Who said that?
Thomas Jefferson.
Okay. Anybody else? If you would, get a form. Oh, you got one? Okay. Julie, did you give her?
Not yet. I need to fill it out. I apologize. Okay.
Ronnie, I didn't even recognize you.
Yeah, I know. No, that's what you told me last time. My name's Ronnie Taylor. I'm a lifelong Brown County resident. And first of all, I'm not correcting Judge West. I'm not sure, though. My understanding was that the legislative redistricting was on federal lines, and they do that on population, and that the state doesn't have much to do with that. I'm a little bit ignorant on that, but that's just what I was told. So anyway, that's an issue that can be discussed at other times. Commissioners and Judge West, I'm addressing the court today about concerns that I have with the contract renewal of a lobbyist. I'm personally opposed to lobbying because it opens the door to corruption, and I believe it distorts the legislative process that was given to us by our founders. Lobbyists funded by taxpayer money generally seek to influence government on matters that often contradict the interest of the people paying them. In reviewing the reported accomplishments of our lobbyist, and he is all of our lobbyists, an obvious commonality is found. The accomplishments, from preventing the state park closing to ensuring the continued manufacturing of duplicate license plates, all ensured the continued or increased spending of taxpayer money. I'm not saying that closing the state park or other state agencies or slowing 3M production is good policy, but I am saying there's a common theme in the lobbyist reports and actions, and that theme embraces government and more spending. There's no mention of policy to reduce regulation on private enterprise or policy that helps individual small business. The mention of legislation by the lobbyist that might provide relief to the taxpayer is done so in a tone of negative bias. I'm speaking of property tax reform, school choice, etc. The lobbyist February 2017 newsletter reads, quote, "Meantime, state legislators are proposing unrealistic local level tax caps." It then continues to say these taxes are required to meet mandates. As a taxpayer and other taxpayers, we're weary of the mandate excuse. Local officials blame the state, and the state blames Washington. Mandates lead to more government and more spending, and no one stands up for the taxpayer. The lobbyist, April 2017, newsletter expresses an untethered approval of spending $2.5 billion from the rainy day fund. He explains that the fund would rapidly be replenished from oil and gas severance tax revenue, possibly even within the year of 2017. I found this an interesting and unrealistic claim by the lobbyist, since oil and gas severance tax fell 50%, almost $1 billion a quarter after the 2014 crash. Our own state comptroller only expected the fund to increase by a value of $600 million. In my opinion, the lobbyist has an attitude of spend at any cost. In closing, I'm opposed to hiring a lobbyist. I'm especially opposed to hiring a lobbyist that is guided by big spending principles. Thank you.
Ronnie, just to clarify, the federal aspect of redistricting is that if a state goes through a redistricting year, and as I understand it, it's based on the census from the previous year or previous 2 years. This is something that has been with us since the War of Northern Aggression. Some people call it the Civil War. The Justice Department, the United States Justice Department, has to review any proposed redistricting that a state legislative body proposes. For example, this is a great example of it. Our senatorial district, or maybe our representative district too, goes all the way to Midland.
Right.
The senatorial district does. Now, and it's just a small string. The district that the Court of Appeals in Eastland, I believe it's the 11th Court of Appeals, goes all the way to Midland. That's just so they could get a Midland judge elected to the court. And then there was a move to try to move the court to that area, but it didn't work. But I mean, and the Justice Department said, okay, that's fair. But that's how it works. It starts at the state level, but the Justice Department has to pass on it and say, yes, this is okay. And for example, we sometimes have to redistrict our precincts because of population changes and shifts. And even as much as, a street, we've seen a street or two put in from one precinct to another to shift the population properly. It has to go to the Justice Department. And it's because down here in the South, we discriminate.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the presumption. That's what you mentioned first. As far as mandates are concerned, you're the guy that gets hit with the mandates, because we're the ones who have to impose taxes to pay for all the mandates that the state places on us.
Right.
And Ronnie, there's nothing we can do. I mean, we can go up and complain and all we want to, and I haven't seen a mandate taken off yet. The number of jailers we have and how hot the food has to be. I mean, any function, it seems, that involves the county, other than the width of the road, I suppose, or how the road surfaced, is literally legislatively mandated as far as how we do it. So you have to pay for it. But you make a good point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like? Ray?
I just wanted to be available, number one, to answer any questions. Number two, I did email at your request communications from Bob to basically be 220 pages worth. And I wanted to give a little background, because I don't know if that's been done properly to this point as far as when, because I know the whole idea of hiring Bob Turner in the first place started back in 2010 with the Chamber's Legislative Affairs Committee, which you're a part of, Judge, and all the entities who have been a part of this. And really, it was a collective idea to say, we need an extra set of eyes and ears in Austin, kind of looking out for Brown County. And really, from my perspective, and the chamber's perspective, it's all about jobs, protecting our local jobs, especially from the state agencies, because there's a lot of state agencies here that employ all of our friends and neighbors. And those initial discussions were about protecting those jobs and protecting those assets and having somebody who has the connections, some influence, and the knowledge to be able to help in those situations, and really to look at any committee hearing or legislation that's being drafted to say, hey, this is a jeopardy to this entity in Brown County, and then let us know about it so we can take any action if we deem it necessary. So I just thought it was important to kind of frame it up. I mean, there's a whole philosophical issue about having taxpayer money pay for lobbyists. Well, who is for that? But that's the system we have. I think that's the reality. And it's what we have. And I think until there's legislation to abolish that kind of thing, this is just what you have to do to ensure that we're keeping our economy safe. And that's Pierre Chamber of Commerce talked about it, you know, protecting our local economy. But, you know, one entity in a small county like ours can't do it by ourselves. So that was the beauty of a partnership like this, I think, in a lot of ways. So just what I wanted to say. Do you guys have any questions about the mechanics of the contract or anything?
No.
We're all good on that.
Not at all. I want to be sure that I was correct in mentioning the redistricting as an issue that Bob was instrumental on.
Correct. So in June of 2011, there was congressional redistricting that happened out of Austin. And there was a committee that put out initial proposed map to do the congressional redistricting that divided Brown County, being that Bangs and Brownwood was going to be in Mike Conaway's district, and the rest of the county was going to be in a democratically held congressional district. Bob brought it to our attention, and then the next day met with the chairman of that committee for the redistricting. And 3 days later, there was a revised map that had us completely in Mike Conaway's district. So, and I have a news story on that I have printed out. I don't know if you can get a copy on it or anything.
That redistricting at that time was led by Senator Tom DeLay. Is that correct?
No, I don't believe that's right. But I've got the copy I can get you guys. I don't know if that's what it was. Let's see. It was Selinger and Solomons with the name of, there was a senator and a representative who were over that. Here we go, yeah. Senator Kel Selinger, Republican from Amarillo, and Representative Bert Solomons from Carrollton. They were the chairman of the House and Senate redistricting committees. And they released that proposed map, it looks like the first week of June 2011. So, any other questions about anything? Good.
Not for me.
All right.
Any other comments? And there are comments from the district.
Well, I've been commissioner for 11 years now, and I have yet to receive a report from Mr. Turner. I talked to Mike Lang the other day. He concurs that he has not really seen or heard from them. I did talk to Mike Lang. We were talking about the caps, and I said, that'd be great if you finally meet and have the caps, as long as you tie them to it. I said, can you tie those to a no unfunded mandate deal? Because I don't know where that went. Mm-hmm. And we talked about spending county money and looking for tangible results. And I hear what he said. He did this. He was here. I hadn't really seen those myself. And Bob does more than Brown County. I mean, he works for other entities besides Brown County, outside of Brown County too. So you can't always say he's just in my. I don't guess you could say he's just totally in Brownwood's interest all the time. He may be in rural county interest. I can see that. And I don't know what action did Bob take to change anything. I don't know. You're saying he just met with these people who has influence, but I don't know. I don't see anything tangible. I haven't seen a report. I've not seen any of this. I've questioned this before, and I questioned it again. That's my comment.
I'm gonna say on local note that we were forced to say no to several deals in budget by making one thing, county employees raises. There were none this year. We had to turn down Good Samaritan, which is really a good outfit, you know, for providing for the needy. We also had to say no to our, which is a rural issue, our livestock producers about the additional state funding that was required for their deals. So, you know, on the local issue, you know, that's where I'm at on the deals. You know, we have to do that. I'm not percent spending money on sending it somewhere that I don't feel like does us all that much good.
I've been a commissioner for 11 years, and I've talked to Bob Turner numerous times. And he's, you know, as far as getting a letter from him once a week or month or whatever, I don't. But I can ask him, and he'll bring me up to date what he's working on. He wants my opinion. I also represent Precinct 4, and I've had a lot of calls and person to person, and I will vote for what the majority of Precinct 4 has told me they want.
Having been in Austin as much as I have, and knowing TAC as long as I have, I've been able to foster relationships with the Texas Association of Counties, particularly the legislative liaisons. And really, a legislative liaison is somebody that goes in and listens to committee meetings. And y'all understand, both the commissioners and the gallery, that you never know when a bill that affects this county directly or rural Texas directly is going to be a rider to some completely not necessarily off the wall, but unrelated legislation. There is no possible way to track, unless you're there every day in every committee room, and you can see where a little rider pops up on another bill that could have some serious impact on us. You never know what the ultimate effect of legislation is going to be. In 2011, I was adamantly opposed to the closure of, the complete reorganization of the two juvenile agencies, the TYC, which was to hold them, and TJPC, which was involved in adjudication and disposition of their cases, putting them into TYC, let's say, or keeping them on probation. And I was against combining those entities into what is now Texas Juvenile Justice Department. But the ultimate effect of that was they gave Ron Jackson 2 to Brown County. G4S leased it from us, and it created 70 new jobs. I mean, how can you ask for anything better than that? A positive, a very big positive, coming from a negative. You just have no way of knowing what's going to happen to this county as a result of certain legislation. You have no way of knowing when certain legislation is going to be snuck in so that you don't know about it. And so, you know, all I can do is to call the people that I know in Austin, ask them to walk the two blocks that it takes, and they are very good about doing it. And if they don't call me back the same day, they call me back the next day and say, here's where it is. This is what's happening. And that's the kind of contact I like to have. And that's where I stand.
Well, excuse me. I am on the legislative committee for our Texas Association of Counties. I one of the commissioners that are, that is on that committee. I've been called on by TAC to come to Austin and testify for numerous bills or sit in on some committee hearings. I get newsletters from TAC almost weekly. I don't get Bob Turner's newsletters except through when the chamber forwards them to me. So, or I don't remember, maybe it's one of the Republican Women Associations that Naomi Flores forwards that to me. But I do, I made numerous trips to Austin this last legislative session, testified on several different bills, some of them to on this, the revenue caps, testified in the bill that Mike Lang put forth for abolishing the donation fund for Brown County. Some of them were fruitful, some of them were not. Things passed, things didn't. But still, the thing is, like Judge West said, we've got to, somebody has to be there, has to be putting forth the effort to put our perspective, Brown County's perspective, in front of the people in Austin. It's not just our personal legislators or Brown County's legislators, it's all of them. Because just say the one that Mike Lang produced or set out for the abolishment of the Brown County's donation fund. Mike was there, presented it, and then he's not on that committee that heard it. So after he presented it, he sat back like everybody else and listened to what I think there were two or three people testified for it. I was one of them, testified for the bill. Because I thought it there was a lot of ambiguous statements in it that weren't there when it was first presented and enacted, but throughout the legislative process, the verbiage in that bill got changed, so it wasn't anything like it was first proposed when it got passed.
It's more like Senator Buckingham's bill.
Yes. And when I testified in the Senate for the same bill that was put forth by Senator Buckingham also. And then several things. But like I said, you've got to be there. You've got to put forth your own or Brown County's perspective. It's, like I said, it's not just our legislators. It's everybody. I just happen to be one that went, yeah, like I said. And I am on the legislative committee for the Texas Association of Counties. Whether it passes this morning, whether we rehire or consent to fund the consortium or with the rest of the Brown County entities, we'll just have to wait and see. But it takes everybody. It's not just one. And it's not just one legislator. It's everybody involved.
Court will entertain a motion if there be one.
I make a motion to rehire Bob Turner.
Okay. You make a motion to approve the proposed contract?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second? Anybody? All right, motion fails for lack of a second, and that will be no action by the Commissioner's Court, so there will be no contract with the former Representative Turner. And thank all of you for coming and for speaking. The next matter on the agenda is opening bids for concrete work. Commissioner Kelton.
Sharon, do we have bids?
One.
We got simplify this a lot. This is a bid from Rural Land Construction. This is a bid for concrete work on County Road 477. FEMA project, low water crossing, which is a mitigation to improve that crossing. And we have one bid from Rural Construction. It was in the paper, advertised 2 different weeks. And I was expecting the project.
Run that around a minute? I'll have. Few minutes.
Joe, of course, is in it.
County Road 477. FEMA project.
And, Commissioner Kelton, is this the, I guess, the low water crossing that was, wiped out during the, was it 2015 or 2016?
It was 2016. June, July, when we ever had the big flood dam. And, that's one of the ones that we had at FEMA that came out, they agreed to do a mitigation. It's been a long, drawn out deal. We finally got the final approval on here, end of the year. In November, we all finally met in here. We received the approval for that. And actually get to improve this from the 2 big horns to 3 smaller horns, go back to the lower water crossing. We had to do a hydrology study, had to hire a hydrologist, had to get a survey done in order to get the FEMA deal. And it's like $139,000 project for the FEMA to do an upgrade on this. But the concrete had to be bid because of the amount of it. And we had one bid for $64,500 to do that concrete work.
Okay, we will now go to item 4, consideration of possible approval of bids for concrete work.
Well, how many yards is a big project? It's actually a little more than I was guessing it would be. But I'll make a motion that we approve the bid from Rural Land Construction for the concrete work in County. And then we also specified this was supposed to be completed within the first quarter of the year, so.
All in favor? Motion carries. And that concludes the agenda items. As I said, I have a hearing that I couldn't avoid. So if y'all mind taking over and paying the bills and then handling the scheduling meeting, well, this is actually going to be a recess week because no, it won't. It'll be a journal.
He said that's my calendar.
That first one.
Yeah. My calendar sheet expired.
Is that true? All right.
Do we have bills? We do have bills.
Yeah, the roller check, we're holding it.
Thank you.
All right then. It's on a positive note. Okay, is there a motion to approve the bill that presented?
I make a motion to approve the bill that's presented by the officer.
Second, is there a second? We got a second. All in favor? Bills are approved. Anything else anybody know that needs to go on the next meeting that we need to think about? We need to tell Jamie about.
Maybe enact some sort of legislation for it to warm up a little.
That's way above my head right there.
They don't have representatives. The more.
Is that a mover, me, down south?
Yeah, we could, yeah.
Well, if that's all the business, is there a motion to adjourn? No, you said recess until.
No, it's adjourned.
It isn't adjourned. Adjourn until Monday, the 8th, is that correct?
Somewhere.
Is there a second? Heard a second over there, we have a second, all in favor?